Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time Gospel broadcast. I do praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio, open the Word of God and study from His precious Word together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're continuing our study on the subject of praying for missions, and we're looking at the book of Matthew, chapter number 9, and verse number 38, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." And I began on Monday of this week studying with you some things about learning to pray for our missionaries. Many years ago, God began to deal with my heart about praying for missions, and I realized I did not know anything about praying for missions. About all I knew was that I could pray God bless our missionaries, and that was about the extent of my praying. So I promised the Lord that if he would teach me how to pray, I would pray, but not only would I pray, I would teach others also how to pray for missions. And we started out, first of all, by learning from the Word of God that we're to pray for our laborers to be sent. We find here in verse number 38, where the Lord leaves with us the only prayer request that he leaves in the Word of God. And I trust you understand me calling it a prayer request. It's really a prayer command, but we're used to prayer requests, and so I use that term to help us understand it. Our Lord said, "I got something I want you to pray about. I want you to pray the Lord of the harvest that he had sent forth laborers into his harvest." And again, I pointed out to you that he is the Lord of the harvest. So he's really saying, "I want you to pray for me." And we looked at three reasons why the Lord was so concerned about the harvest. We learned, first of all, that the harvest was plenteous. Then we learned, second, that the harvest is precious. And thirdly, we learned that the harvest is perishing. And if we're going to do anything for God, we've got to get it done quickly, because a night is soon coming when no man can work. I pointed out to you that the job of the church is to pray them in, see them saved, pray them up, see them strong, and pray them out, see them serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we pray, God will hear our prayer and laborers will be sent forth. But then number two, not only must we pray that laborers be sent, but second, I'm dealing with the fact today that laborers must be sustained. It's not enough that they go, they must stay. And I mentioned on yesterday, I have a banner here in my study that said, "We give so they may live, but we must pray so they can stay." And as I began to deal with this area, God began to deal with my heart, and I wrote down some things to enact them in my own prayer life. And then I've been preaching these and teaching these to others and challenging churches to do likewise down through the years. But there are eight categories that God laid up in my heart that we should pray for our missionaries in. I mentioned the first one on yesterday. We're to pray for them spiritually. And when I say pray for them spiritually and their spiritual need, that involves everything in their spiritual life, both their own personal spiritual needs as well as the spiritual needs of the work of God that they're doing. I also pointed out to you that everything that you're doing in your home church or you're doing in your Christian life, the missionary has to do the same thing. And so we're to pray for them in the spiritual aspect of their life, that God would help them to have the right walk, to stay in the Word, have the right relationship with the Lord, and be effective in their own Christian life and then effective in the work of God that God has called them to do. So I say to you, first of all, we must pray for their spiritual needs. Number two, we're to pray for their physical needs. This is very simple, but yet we need to pray that God keep them well and strong. You see, my friend, a sick missionary cannot do the work that a well missionary can. We must pray that God put a hedge around their health and keep them strong physically, that they might carry on the work that God has called them to do. But then number three, not only do we pray for their spiritual needs and their physical needs, but we pray for their emotional needs. The stresses and strains of the missionary life can be terribly hard on we who are used to the conveniences in America. And my friend, missionaries go through culture shock when they arrive on the field. And I want to say it's just not a matter when they arrive and the culture shock, but throughout the days and months and years of their serving God on a foreign field, they battle defeat and discouragement and despair. And the devil hounds them and tries to discourage them to get them to leave the field and return back to the States. But I want to say to you, friend, we can lift them up to the throne of grace in prayer, and God can minister to their emotional needs. It does not matter whether it's the missionary, his wife, or his children. God is able to answer our prayers to give them peace and joy and tranquility in serving God, though they may be living in very adverse conditions. God can do it and will do it if we'll pray as we should pray. So number one, we're to pray for their spiritual need. Number two, we're to pray for their physical need. Number three, we're to pray for their emotional need. Then number four, we're to pray for their mental need. You see, my friend, when a missionary goes to the foreign field, he's going to have to learn a new language. He's going to have to learn new laws. He's going to have to learn to deal with new leaders. And we ought to pray that God would help them to understand and grasp the language and the laws of the land, that they might serve God more effectively. I've been all these years learning to speak English, and I still do not do a good job with the English language. Can you imagine what it would be like to start learning a language that you've never known before? Can you imagine what it would be like to start living in a country where you've never been before and learning new laws that you've never known before? So we're to pray for them spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. And then number five, we're to pray for them socially. They have to learn to get along with the people that they work with the leaders of the country, and with those who labor in the church. They must learn to get along one with another. And oftentimes here in America, we are so hard-headed and so independent. But I want to tell you, friend, they have got to learn to get along, to work together with people. And you better believe, you better recognize that when you go to another country and their customs are not like ours and their culture is not like ours, friend, it's not always easy to learn the customs and the culture of the people. But the missionary must do that. He must learn the language, learn the laws, learn the customs, learn the culture, and he must learn to get along with them. And so we need to pray for them socially as they live among the people, that they might be effective in the work of God. Then number six, not only do we need to pray for their spiritual needs, their physical needs, their emotional needs, their mental needs, and their social needs, but we need to learn to pray for their moral needs, that God would be with them and bless them and keep them pure and holy before God. Now listen to me, dear friend. I hope you understand that crossing the country line and crossing the culture barrier, even crossing the color barrier, does not do away with sinful lust. My friend, the devil is out to destroy the missionary and his family by any means he can. And one of the ways he does work is in the matter of morality. And we need to pray that God put a hedge around that missionary and around his wife and around his children. And God to keep them pure and clean and holy before God. I remember one time preaching this message, and a missionary and his wife came up to me after the service was over with. And she mentioned to me the fact that their son, 16 years old, was the only white-skinned, blue-eyed, blonde-haired boy in their town. And every girl desired to have him. Oh, my friend, listen to me. We better recognize that the devil knows the weakness of the flesh. And the devil knows the power of sexual temptation. And we need to pray that God build a hedge around them morally to keep themselves clean before God so they can continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, when a preacher here in the States falls into immorality, it is a terrible blow to a church. But when a missionary falls, I believe it's even greater, because most of the time he's the one that started that church and led those people to Christ. So we pray for them spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, morally, socially. And then number 7, we pray for them domestically. We pray that God put a hedge around the husband-wife relationship and around the parent-child relationship, and that God would protect the family unit and bless the family unit of that missionary. Serving God anywhere, it can be hard in and of itself. But my friend, when the family is not with you, when the family is divided, then it's almost impossible to serve God effectively. So we need to pray that God would help our missionaries domestically. That partner-companion relationship would be warm and fervent and fulfilling. And we ought to pray that God would work on that parent-child relationship, that God would do that needs to be done in their lives, so that they will labor together as a family and serve God there on the foreign field. And then number 8, we not only pray for them spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, morally, socially, domestically, but we pray for them financially. I am convinced that if we pray here in the States, God's able to raise up the money that's needed on the mission field. He can do it by having new churches take the missionary on. He can do it by having the churches that support him increase their support. God can do it. But as we pray, then God will meet their need financially. So it's not enough that we send them over there, but we must pray. We give so they can live, but we pray so they can stay. I wonder, what about you? Friend, are you a person of prayer for your missionaries? Have you interceded at the throne of grace today for your missionaries? If not, I trust God would speak to your heart, and you become a person of prayer, a prayer warrior, praying for your missionaries. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I'm grateful to the Lord for the radio stations that carry the broadcast, and I do trust that you'll pray for them and support them as the Holy Spirit directs you to do so. As we approach the Christmas season, I want to wish all the personnel at each station and you, the listener, a very blessed Christmas and a healthy and happy and spiritually prosperous new year. And I trust that God will bless you. You'll have a wonderful time with your family and friends during the holiday season. Let me encourage you that as you do your Christmas giving, that you remember the Harvest Time broadcast. A letter from you at this time of the year would be such a blessing. And even if you could not send any support, it's always a joy and a blessing to receive Christmas cards. So take a moment and write to us and share with us, if it's at all possible, in the financial burden. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. God bless you until the next broadcast.
I do not wait.